The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It's a Monday. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
A lot of football over the weekend. Not a lot of good football being played, though.
No, it was very uneventful week one of the NFL.
What an awful, awful week of NFL action. I don't remember a week one that's ever been so poorly played.
That was my first thoughts last night when I did my national show on Fox Sports Radio.
So there's one.
I don't know if you guys know that I do a national show. 250 million people listen per month. But yeah, that was the first thing I noticed. It was a lot of bad football in the NFL.
So that just... You know, it covers for your Giants a little bit. I thought you were going to call in sick today, considering you bet your kids' college fund on that
game. Did you see my Twitter and my Facebook last night? People like, I don't even know if I can repeat some of the stuff. I don't like, shut your blanking mouth and go back to your overnight weekends. And now Slow Jeff, your producer in Dallas, is so much better than you are. And that's why you're a loser. And just people just ripping the hell out of me. Did you see that or what?
That's a little mean, but you do bring some of it on yourself.
All I said was, what time do the Giants win? And they jumped out my throat. It's amazing. They were killing me.
You also said you wanted to go to Vegas and take all your money and put it on the Giants. Did you end up doing that?
No, I didn't.
No.
Unfortunately. Yes. Or fortunately for me, I didn't do that. They think, you know, for 20 years I've been right about the Dallas Cowboys. 20 years, because they've won like 2 playoff games in 20 years. My wife was giving me grief yesterday going, why do you do that with the Cowboys? Just stop picking on them. I'm like, for 20 years, I've been right about the Cowboys. What have they done? They've done nothing in 20 years, Brady. Nothing.
Well,
seriously.
They did more than the Giants last night.
Oh, jeez.
You know, even from the teams that won, I didn't think there was good football.
No, there wasn't. That's why I'm not too crazy about it.
I'm not covering for my Seahawks, but I didn't think Green Bay played well even in a win. I didn't think Pittsburgh played well in a win.
What a bogus call that was in your...
Oh, it was terrible. Absolutely terrible. It was terrible on both ends. Lane getting ejected, and it should have been a touchdown.
Yeah, we'll get into that, obviously. Lots going... Did you have a great weekend, though? Did you do a lot, or just was it football?
Well, it was raining. It felt like the entire weekend, but yesterday was beautiful. So it felt like it rained Friday and Saturday, but it was beautiful yesterday. Went out to dinner. Went to the Grand Buffet in Essex. Chinese food.
Look at you.
It was phenomenal. Jess and I both.
Isn't that where we go, Jason?
We've been to two of them. One of them we liked more than the other. Did you go to the one next to the Hallmark?
Yeah.
We liked that one.
Oh, yeah. We liked that one.
The one on Pearl Street. Yeah. That was phenomenal. Best General Tso's chicken, sweet and sour chicken. That was awesome.
So you chowed down there.
Yeah, chowed down. And then,
did you get the Staples taken out of your head?
Not yet. Tomorrow.
So you can't play ball tonight?
No.
You're going to use that as an excuse for like the next 3 months, aren't you?
No, I get my Staples out.
Well, you
tomorrow.
Don't like to play on Mondays because Mondays a little...
Mondays isn't as high quality.
Too rough for you, I think. Right?
No, it's not as high quality. That's why you play.
It's a little too rough for you. I understand that. You get mad on Mondays. I know you do. Youngsters kind of, you know, just flying by you because you're so slow. You know?
No, I get mad when people don't know how to play.
Wow.
That's what makes me mad.
What do you mean don't know how to play? Like if you're warming up and you take a shot and they cut him for the layup and you don't feed them the ball?
No, they talk smack on Mondays and Brady can't.
They're like annoying. I don't like to play with people who are annoying.
That's what I'm going for, just for the annoyance alone. What, are you kidding me? That's the best part of the games on Monday.
No, because here's what happens. Look, trust me. I played so many YMCA pickup games. I know how this drill goes. There's some hotshot 19-year-olds that really stink, but they think they're good.
Right.
So they come. They shoot all the time.
Call foul all the time.
They call fouls all the time. And then you disagree with one foul call, and then they pout, and then they leave the game because they're upset.
That's when they challenge you for 1-on-1 for $100, right there. They just play you 1-on-1 for $100.
No, they leave the game because it didn't go their way.
So somebody left the game last time that we played. Oh, when I played at the edge, a guy said I wasn't playing defense, and he quit in the middle of the game.
Oh, yeah. See, I hate that.
But that's not true.
Oh, by the way, the guy who was talking smack to me the last time we played at the Edge, I saw him at. I went to the park and played outside because.
And he was there.
And he was there.
Did he remember you?
He remembered all the threes I hit.
Did you challenge him?
No, I let him play on the other court because I didn't need to be bothered.
What happened to the old man that said he could drop? He could beat me in a 1-on-1.
That guy could beat you. The guy that was at the hot dog.
Yeah, what happened to him? I never got his number or anything. That guy just disappeared once I challenged him. He cowered away. You know.
Well, he was a Division I player.
I know that.
What place did he come in the hot dog eating contest?
Oh, he came in second. Excuse me. You won the hot dog eating contest. My bad. My apologies. My apologies. I should have gotten that right. That's right. Jason won the hot dog eating contest. We got a new intern. How about that? Intern Devin, right?
Yes, intern Devin.
I love it.
Intern Lance was in here earlier. You're never going to meet intern Lance because he's only into the mornings.
Yeah, so I've never. I met him once or twice. So, yeah.
Well, he's only. Yeah. I don't think you're ever going to see him again.
Yeah, I won't see him
we
again.
We had like five interns.
Yeah.
They all start this week.
Okay, good. So it's about time we started getting people to do our grunt work for us because I'm certainly tired of it. Real quick, today's obviously 9/11.
Yep.
A big day. Brady, real quick, I'll tell you a quick story. I was working in Los Angeles, obviously, when this happened 16 years ago. And obviously it was in the mornings. And, you know, it was very early in the morning on the West Coast. I did an afternoon show with a partner of mine in Los Angeles. We canceled all programming. You know, all sports programming for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Went with I worked for Clear Channel at the time. That's who owned the station. Major conglomerate, obviously. Yeah. Everybody knows Clear Channel. We put it on our sister station. I believe it was KABC TV, you know, where they had round-the-clock coverage and stuff like that. My boss calls me up. Says, you're going to have to get in here and do your show. Look, I'm stuttering even thinking about that. I said, yeah.
Do the sports show.
No, do a show. Oh. He didn't say sports.
Okay.
He said, you're going to come in here and you're going to do a show about what's going on. I said, well, that's not going to happen. I said, that's not going to happen. I go, you do not want me on the air. This is not my expertise. Two, if you put me on the air, I promise you, you don't know what I'm going to say. I don't even know what I'm going to say. And I promise you it's not going to be pretty. And you're going to shut me down. You're going to fire me. And then it's going to be a big problem. He goes, you got to come in here. You got to do the show. I said, I'm not doing the show. And I hung up the phone. This is the only time I've ever stood up to him. The president called me. He goes, look.
The president of the company, not of the United States.
No, the president of the company. He said, hey, you've got to come in. I'm sorry. You've got to come in. That's just the way it's going to be. So I went in. I did the show. We had a pilot on, a pilot that was working for, I believe, United Airlines. I tell you, I was terrified. I couldn't control myself. It was like the one time I couldn't control myself on the air. They would not allow it now when I was saying, like, we're going to make these pay and we're coming after you. And it was full hatred. I mean, really full hatred. Coming out of my mouth, I'm shocked they didn't just yank me off the air, Brady. It was just like full, you were saying what when people saw it and you were talking among yourselves, is exactly what I was saying on the radio. I mean, I couldn't believe they were allowing some of the stuff coming out of my mouth. It was absolutely crazy to be honest.
I was in sixth grade, Mr. Redmond's tech class.
Did he kind of put it in perspective or no?
No, you know, he, you know, we watched it actually. This was first period, so this is like 8:40, 8:58. It was like 8:50 and 9:20, something around there, 9 and 9:20. So we're in first period. We're watching it on TV. And then by the time second period rolled around, people realized exactly how big this was. And then they shut it down. The TVs were off all day. They didn't tell us anything about it. They'd made an announcement and basically said, here's what's going on. And that was it. And we just went about our day. But, no one really had any idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, you're at that age, though.
I was in New York.
Yeah.
I was only 3 hours away from New York City at the time. So it was very, very real.
Yeah.
And once you got home, you started watching everything.
No, I could imagine. I mean, being that age also. But, I remember that. I remember going in and didn't know what the heck I was going to say or what I was going to do. I mean, that's not my expertise. Sports is not even my expertise, but certainly that was not my expertise. But let's always remember and never forget. Of course, thoughts and prayers go out. Everybody to the families and friends have lost people in 9/11, especially down there. What was that? Morgan Stanley, I believe, was the big. Was it Morgan Stanley? Was the big. Brokerage firm down there that had the
place? In the World Trade Center?
Yeah, in the World Trade Center.
I don't know, to be honest.
I think, I'm not sure, but of course, over 2,000 people lost their lives, and just a day to remember in remembrance of 9/11, 16 years ago. What's coming up on the show today, big boy?
Well, the Giants lose. Arnie almost called him sick. The Lakemont Surger one win away from a championship series. Former Giant Jason Sehorn joins the show at 5 o'clock. We've got our first big contest of the fall we're going to announce at 5:15. But first, we kind of touched on it already, and this really seems like the only place to start. what just an absolutely dreadful slew of week one games. Embarrassing performance after embarrassing performance.
Maybe the Patriots weren't so crappy as some of the other teams I saw on Sunday.
That was one of the major takeaways I took from this. I really thought, man, everyone who was upset about the Patriots, and I was talking to Rich today, and he's like, what an utter embarrassment they were, and you crushed them on the air on Friday, and people texted in saying how disappointing it was. The Patriots put up 27 points. Can you imagine what you'd be saying about that performance if you were the Giants, the Seahawks, even the teams that won.
To a team that some people think had the best performance in week number one, the Kansas City Chiefs.
And it made that game feel that much more impressive to me. It was amazing just that those teams, they came out ready to play. Tom Brady looked a little off, but he didn't look completely out of it. The Seahawks, the Giants, the Texans, playing with all that emotion, a playoff team from a year ago gets whitewashed by Jacksonville, which is an absolute shock to me. Cincinnati gets shut out at home. I mean, it was just embarrassing. There were just sloppy football.
Brady, I've always told you that the AFC East has been the worst division like in the last 20 years in all of sports. I've never seen the AFC Conference as bad as it's been ever. Ever. I mean, seriously, there's like two teams. If you want to include the Patriots, then there's two teams. Them and the Raiders. That's pretty much it. Don't give me Pittsburgh with the way they looked against
Kansas
Cleveland. Kansas City. And you know what? When's the last time they won a playoff game? And we're going to go and put them up there to the front. That goes to show you how, if you're going to think about it, it's been a long, long time. Let me just go ahead and say that to you. You may have to go back to Jan Stenerud days and Len Dawson. That's how bad the AFC Conference is. That it really is dreadful. It's about as bad. You're looking at me, but I can't remember a day that it's been this bad. It goes to show you that the Patriots lost, and they lost in a bad way, and they're still right up there. It's Kansas City and the Raiders. They should be 1-2. That's pretty much it right now.
But see, you can't even make this just about the AFC. The Seahawks aren't in the AFC. Neither are the Giants. Well, neither are the Packers. Detroit and Arizona, I know it was high scoring at 35-23, but it was very, very poorly played. Carson Palmer was awful. Matt Stafford ended up with four touchdowns, but he looked terrible at the very beginning. Even Dallas didn't look great, especially offensively. Dak Prescott didn't play that well. These teams, bottom line, did not come out ready to play.
Good year to have an aging quarterback, isn't it? Good year to see that you're done. I mean, first of all, Andy Dalton, did you know that you could get a buyout with Andy Dalton after 2018? You could say goodbye to him instead of paying him to 2021? Because I'd kick his backside right out the door if it's the first thing I did and take one of those four or five quarterbacks that are coming out of college next year. That's the first one. And then what's his face? Carson Palmer out of Arizona? If I could cut him now and bring in one of those college kids, I would have done that in the first half. That's what I would have done.
Well, Nick in Plattsburgh says that the NFL product is harder and harder to watch every year with all the flags, stoppages of play, and commercials. I've always railed on the NFL because of the stoppages in play. I think there's too many illegal contact flags, too many defensive holding flags. It's almost hard to play defense at all now. We know it's offensively skewed because fans like that, but it's almost impossible to play defense with the number of flags that are called.
That's a horrible call in a corner. I can't remember which game where he just played about as good a defense as you can, and they called pass interference. I go, if you can't do that, then you forget about it.
Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah. The weird thing, by the way, and I was having this discussion with my cousin yesterday, and I don't consider myself like a rule savant, right? Like, I don't think I know everything, but I can't tell when there's actual holding or when they just decide to call it.
Well, there seems to be a holding on the interior. It feels like you call it every play. As far as the exterior goes, or on the perimeter of the field, I think they do a generally pretty good job. But the refs' hands are tied by what the league's rules are.
Yeah.
But to me, the problem across the board was not the officiating. It wasn't even quarterback play. It was offensive line play. For these teams that, you know, we complain all the time, oh, the preseason's too long, too many games, blah, 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 blah. To come in as ill-prepared as teams looked, that's absolutely embarrassing. If the preseason is too long, you'd like to think that your players are ready to go. Offensive line play across the board was disgusting yesterday. Start in Houston, where the Texans allowed 10 sacks, then go to Seattle, where the Seahawks didn't even have a first down until midway through the second quarter.
My Giants, I got totally up. What was time of possession in the game last night? Seemed like it was 2-1.
The Seahawks was 40-20 in favor of Green Bay.
Seemed like the Giant game was the same thing.
I mean, Jeff Saturday was on Mike and Mike today, and Jason, pull this cut. Jeff Saturday was talking about offensive line play and really how bad it was yesterday. So give me Jeff Saturday number one.
techniques and fundamentals are what we miss. Everybody in the NFL is so scheme driven. We're gonna line up. We're gonna scheme them. We're gonna formation them, which means they're gonna put motion. They're gonna try to find, and they're always trying to affect the defensive backfield as opposed to lining up and teaching techniques and fundamentals of offensive line play. Where your hat leverage is, where your body position, are you leveraging the actual play? And you'll watch it, and it doesn't go together. You know, you watch a zone play going to the right, and I see all the hats of the offensive lineman on the left side of the defense lineman. That doesn't work. That means he's staying in his gap, right? It doesn't make sense that that's what you're asking guys to do, and you don't need to be in pads to learn that. I teach my kids in high school, this left ear hole has got to be across the bow of that man. That means it's a mentality of you go and do this and work on this every day.
High-level football talk there for offensive lines.
What's he talking about? You know? I mean,
it's high-level football talk basically to say that the offensive lines are disjointed from the rest of the offense. And that's what you saw all day yesterday. Every time I was watching a game, and I was watching a lot of different games. I was watching the Red Zone channel. I have the Sunday ticket, so I'm watching all of them. Every time I looked, just repeatedly defenders in the backfield.
Kevin in Plattsburgh says the Yankees scored 16 runs yesterday. They scored more than the Jets and the Giants scored combined. New York football looked awful. Well, not so much the Bills. The Bills went ahead and won. You got to give them credit
against
for that.
Against the Jets.
Hey, Brady, don't forget the Cowboys were playing against the Giants defense, and Zeke looked pretty good.
104 yards.
He was okay. I mean, yeah, he was pretty good about there. And you, Nick in Plattsburgh, you already read that one about with all the flags. So, yeah, there was one game where there was like 20-something flags. I think they only accepted 5 out of the 21 or something like that. It was absolutely nuts on that. All right, what do we have when we got coming back?
Well, we'll get more into your Giants losing 19-3. We've got sound from the game, sound after the game, and some interesting stats on where the Giants go from here.
All right, you're listening to 101.3 ESPN.
What crazy thing will Arnie say next? Find out now on The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. By the way, programming announcement, Rich is coming back Wednesday, is he not?
He'll
there,
be
buddy,
back on Wednesday. So if you're
pumped, saw him today, right?
I saw Rich today.
Wow.
He was in the building for a little bit. Look, I know everyone wanted to hear him today, and he did get back to town on Saturday, but he needs a couple of days to decompress just a little bit.
Why? So give him, why?
Because he's been driving nonstop and working 8 to midnight for the last 4 months. He deserves a little rest.
And he needs to mentally prepare for you.
A whole 4 hours?
No, 8 a.m. to midnight.
Oh, you said 8 p.m. to midnight. I'm like, why play-by-play is that long? I didn't know that.
Well, the game goes...
Boy, they go to extra innings, aren't they, Brady?
So, Rich is he is back in town. I'm sure he's listening to the show, even. He gets
and
a
then
little...
it's going to be the three of us. So we were just going to say, Rich, Artie, Brady? Is that what do you say? R-A-B-B-A-R? Bar, Brady, Artie, Rich?
Arnie, Rich, Brady, whatever. Yeah. It's going to be the huddle. How about that? It's going to be a group effort.
On my national network where I work for Fox, they have JT the Brick featuring Tom Looney. Maybe it should be the Arnie Spanier show featuring Brady and Rich.
You could be slaving over a hot microphone.
But let me tell you, when you say featuring, that makes it sound like those people are bigger than the person you mentioned the first time around. I'm not really sure how.
Well, we could do that because in music, whenever featuring is in there, you're always more excited. Oh, that's so-and-so featuring Lil Wayne. I'm more excited for Lil Wayne in the song than I am the actual artist.
Exactly. That's true.
So I think it could be the same way when people listen.
I got to tell you, on my Facebook page, on my Twitter last night, Cowboy fans just bombarding the crap out of me like they won the Super Bowl. So I guess the parade's already started because they have nothing to get excited about over the last 20 years. But they get the victory over my Giants. I was just terrified. I picked the Giants to win the Super Bowl. And one half of football, my pick has already been eliminated, Brady. It's disgusting.
The Giants look terrible. I mean, the stats out of this are unbelievable.
Defensively, they were okay.
The Giants held the Cowboys, or the Cowboys held the Giants to just 3 points. It's New York's fewest in a season opener since 1995. It's the first time the Giants were held without a touchdown since Week 6 of 2014. I mean, the Giants' offense that we had built up so much over the offseason, we're pumped about Beckham. And even though we didn't play, we knew they had reinforcements with Marshall and Shepard and Ingram, the tight end. We knew they had a good defense, and the defense did stand up pretty well against an offense that we think with Elliott can be good. But the Giants laid a complete egg on the offensive line, and that's what's so disheartening, that the biggest fear that we had, it manifested itself on Sunday.
I was disappointed in that offensive line. I thought they would be able to create a few more holes. I didn't think the running game was going to be this anemic. It was sickening.
The running game didn't even get a chance to get going. Number one, the Giants didn't have a commitment to the run. They only ran the ball like 15 times for the game. They weren't able to get any push up front with that offensive line. And they had no commitment to the running game, no rhythm in the running game, and no desire to go to the running game. You can't rely on a guy to have to throw the ball, 40, 50 times every week, which is what the Giants would be trending to do with an offensive line that blocks like
Look,
this.
I don't want to be Captain Knee-Jerk Reaction, but what the hell, since the show is today, and I said this on my national show, which is on Fox, I don't know if I mentioned that, Tom Brady and Eli Manning are done. In case you didn't know that, they're both done. And before everybody tells me, oh, way to go, hot sports opinion, hot take. No, Brady, I would think that that I'm more right than everybody else because how many 40-year-old quarterbacks are successful in the NFL? Pretty much never. So the odds are in my favor that I'm right about Brady and I'm going to be right about Eli Manning, that they're both done.
But see, the thing that you have to recognize is this, and I understand that the result would lead you to have a conclusion
and
like
their stats,
that.
And their stats.
But also understand you need to have resources around you. And Tom Brady's case, he was missing arguably his most valuable resources in Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola for the second half of that game. So
years past, though, he'd be able to overcome that.
You can't say that. You cannot say that, okay? Yes, certain injuries can be overcome, but also certain injuries to certain guys at the wrong time are very difficult to overcome in a short sample span. As for Eli Manning, he has receivers, but you took out his weapon of Odell Beckham Jr., which it's not the only reason they lost, but it matters. And then the offensive line, that's the thing
hideous.
That's going to generate everything and allow everything else to function with some sense of success. And you took that away. So you've taken away these guys' resources. Again, it doesn't mean that they're not good, but when you're not playing with a full deck, it's awfully hard.
You want to get in on the Town Fair Tire text line. You tell me what you thought about week number one. We'll read some of those at 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. What do we take away from week one of the NFL? What, Jason?
I also think that you got to give Evan Engram some time. It was only his first game. I think he could wind up being the second biggest weapon after Odell.
Well, he had four catches. He had 40-plus yards. I do like Evan Engram.
Marshall had one?
Yeah, and it was the last play of the game.
You
and it
would
was
not even have known he was in the game. I could have said I played and would have gotten more action than him, Brady, to be honest with you.
Well, Ken Drake, the sports anchor over at NBC5, who's a friend of ours,
yeah.
He tweeted into me and the station, he goes, the Giants have no offensive line, therefore we'll have no success this year. And you do have,
wow.
You do have to get that line fixed because everything is going to stem from your ability offensively and defensively to win the line of scrimmage. Do you want to hear some of the sound?
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got a couple different cuts here. I want to get to a few of them. Here, how about Brandon Marshall after the game? Jason, give us Brandon Marshall number one.
We had an awesome week of practice. We had a great game plan. And, they made some big plays in big moments, situational football. Those three and outs killed us. You know, we just got to get rolling early, and if we do that, you know, I think we'll be in good position come fourth quarter.
Three and outs kill you more than you think. We don't even bring that up enough. Three and out, get those defense back on the field. They're tired, especially in the first half. They're worn down for the second half. It's just a killer out there, Brady.
Especially with the Giants. They have a very, very good defense, but in terms of being able to rotate in different pieces, they're not as deep. They have stars, but they don't have the continuous depth that allows you to rotate in certain packages. They're relying on Vernon and JPP and Damon Harrison. They're relying
on good corners too. Corners.
Yeah, and I'm not as worried about the corners, but up front, those guys that you're gonna lean on, those guys are playing a lot of snaps.
George and Middlebury, did you get to this in the Giants game? I can't even read that.
He said if the offensive line is bad, you have to compensate by getting rid of the ball quickly. Something we've seen Brady do more quick passes.
I'm tired of Eli forcing it. I don't need the interceptions out there. What is Craig in Highgate write in also?
He said, I don't even think football was worth watching yesterday because of the horrendous showing in all the games. You know what? He's frankly right.
Afternoon games were horrible.
Well, the Seattle game was terrible. The Rams and Colts, I thought I was watching the JV division there, even though the Rams won by 30 or whatever. But the Carolina and San Francisco game wasn't a good one either.
Yes, Jason.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't interrupt you. The thing about Eli Manning is you never know what you're going to get with him. And the other thing about Eli Manning is he's been in the league, 12, 13 years, whatever, and he still looks so uncomfortable out there. Whether he has a bad offensive line or not. I think he's just privy to forcing it.
I'm ready for him to move on after another year. That's it. I'm done. I don't know if the backup they took in the draft this year is the answer, but I'm ready to move on from him.
Do you think that the OBJ absence was a big reason?
Oh, yeah. It was all the reason there. And I hate to go ahead and say one thing, but I mean, you don't move the chains. Forget about scoring. You can't move the chains. You don't have a long person that has depth so you could stretch the field out. That opens up the short game. Eli was passing it short, but everybody was playing him short because you didn't have to worry about anybody getting behind you. It totally affected everything last night in the game.
I think it matters, but you also, the Giants have all pro caliber players on that offense. Okay, Sterling Shepard led the league in touchdowns out of the slot last year. Evan Ingram's a first round draft pick, and Brandon Marshall is an all pro caliber player that's had 1,000 yards receiving with three different teams. I think he's the only player in NFL history to do that. So I understand maybe you lose the home run ability of an Odell Beckham Jr., but you should have been able to compensate it for one game, especially because you knew that this was coming. You had 4 weeks plus, since 3 weeks plus since Odell got hurt, to prepare for life without him. You should have been better off than that.
Get to Matt in South Burlington. I think he's ripping you, right? Is that what he's doing?
He's ripping
there?
Both of us. Okay, he says, oh my God, Brady, good quarterbacks make mediocre receivers better. Eli has been decent at best in his career, and Brady did make garbage receivers better. I understand that good quarterbacks can elevate players, but also you can't say that if we're going to strip down everyone's resources that we expect them to be the same player. Tom Brady's not going to be the exact same player when you take away 3/5 of his wide receiver core, which is what has happened to him in losing Amendola, in losing Edelman, and losing Malcolm Mitchell. Yes, it's going to take a little bit of time. And as for Eli, if you don't have any time to throw, I don't care who you are, you're not going to be set up for success. Look at Russell Wilson last year.
He goes on to say they're old. The ability goes away like Steve Nash for the Suns. Yes, that's basketball. Those receivers also kill themselves for Brady. That's Matt in South Burlington. P.S. Tell Arnie to shut up about his crappy show. I think he's talking about my national show. Is that what he's talking about? Okay, Matt. Yeah, I think you would like to talk to 250 million people per month. I think you would like that. What does Nick in Plattsburgh write in? Giants look like they whiffed on Flowers and made it. I can't even read that.
He just says that they haven't done a good job committing to the offensive line. They tried to take Eric Flowers in the first round a few years ago. Outside of that, they haven't made any big moves on the line in the last 3 years. You had a guy in Jeff Schwartz who you liked, but he was so injured that he ended up run out of town as a free agent because he just couldn't stay on the field. But that was a guy who was pretty good for you when he was on the field. Giants need to recommit themselves in the offseason. Last year, they committed themselves defensively. This year, in the offseason, in the draft, they committed themselves offensively. Now, they need to get back to basics and play well in the offensive interior.
Everybody taking their shot. Mark in Jericho says, in regarding to the offensive line play, fundamentals do common things uncommonly well, and you will succeed. Nick in Plattsburgh says, Eli is like a statue in the pocket and can't overcome a turd. He is like a statue in the pocket, Brady. He's bad out there. Vince says, are we going to see more Eli slack jaw and open mouth this year with that dumb face look out there? So I hope it's not going to be like that. Like I said, there was a lot of bad games out there, so I'm hoping they could overcome their hideous start, Brady.
Hey, that said, were the Giants the most disappointing team to you in week one?
Oh, no, no. And I got to give them a little bit of slack, but the Houston Texans were absolutely disgusting, and so were the Cincinnati Bengals to be shut out at home. And the game that Andy Dalton had, that was embarrassing.
I think Houston was the most disappointing. Number one, again, that is a division game. I know the Giant game was a division game also, but you were at home in a division game against a team that's, you know, perpetual bottom feeder in the AFC South. So you lost a division game. You lost at home. You lost when you had everything to play for, right? You had a whole city rallying behind you, trying to use you as an outlet.
Right,
you had
right.
You had the good vibes of the pregame ceremony with J.J. Watt and the national anthem.
But that's why I'm cutting him slack a little bit.
But that's why I'm getting on them more. You had the emotion in your corner there. That emotion should have been for you to use to build on and succeed. And you get down, you're down 12-0 right away. Then you're down 19-0. Leonard Fournette runs for 100 yards on you, and you benched your quarterback in halfway through week one. Texans most disappointing.
Yeah, it's a mess out there. Cincinnati, because I mean they're a veteran crew out there. They got Andy Dalton. They were ready to take the next step, and they're playing at home. And to be shut out against the Baltimore team, where people are like, "Hey, what's going on with Flacco? Didn't play in the preseason. We don't know what to expect." They were down 17-0 at half. That's a total embarrassment for the opening week of the NFL, Brady.
And Baltimore is a team neither one of us are really high on. As
no,
you just said,
no.
Questions about Flacco with his health. We really wondered about the receiving crew. Jeremy Maclin ends up with a touchdown. And how about that fact, by the way, that I smoked your fantasy team?
Oh, man. My brother just called me right before you came in yelling at me, saying it's my fault because I picked up the Giants defense. I go, like, that's why we're 34 points behind.
I had the Houston defense and they got nothing.
Shh, do you hear that? You don't hear, woo, woo, whatever the Ken Kreitz, huh, from RotoWire. He's got the lowest amount of points in our fantasy league, does he not?
And Jason, not much ahead of him,
if
by
you have the
way.
If you have the lowest points every week, you got to throw in like $1,000 into the pot, too. Yeah. Wow. That's going to cost him a lot of money. All right, when we get back, Baker Mayfield, the quarterback out of Oklahoma. You know what he did after the game, after they won? If you don't know what he did, wait till we tell you about this. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
While Rich is away, Brady's in to play The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Jason Seward going to join us a little bit later on. I'm excited about that.
Former Giant. Remember, he was on that Giants team in 2001. As 9/11 hit New York, so he was in New York on 9/11. So we will talk football. We'll gain some perspective on that.
Only white cornerback in the history of the NFL, I think.
That's not true.
I know. He was one of the few.
Adam Archuleta.
One of the few white cornerbacks in the history of the NFL.
Don't forget this. After we talk to Jason Seahorn at 5:15, we're going to announce our first big contest of the fall. We have four phenomenal contests coming up this
fall.
And
I know none of them. I know I'm not because I can't keep a secret, so I'm not allowed to know. Yeah,
5:15, you're going to find out the first one. As well.
I didn't even know. I didn't even look at my sheet today. So 5:15, what big announcement? Well, you'll have to announce it because I don't know what it is.
That's right. I didn't even write it on the sheet so that I don't want you to spill it early.
So but you said Jason Seahorn was in New York during the 9/11 attacks.
Well, yeah, because he was with the Giants in 2001.
Wow. Was he inside Manhattan or?
He's with the Giants, wherever the Giants were.
I didn't know if he was in Manhattan or you know if they were at practice or their facilities in New Jersey or what, but yeah. And he used to be married to Angie Harmon.
Yes.
The girl from Law & Order. So,
she's
an actress. Yeah, she's been in a lot of stuff, but yeah, I used to watch her. I still watch Law & Order.
Still, they're not married anymore.
No,
so
I know that. I know that. Thank you very much. I'm well aware of that. All right, Baker Mayfield, get to that story because my partner on my national show on Sundays actually does the sideline reporting for the University of Oklahoma, so he had a few opinions on this story.
Yeah, so Oklahoma goes into Ohio State. Now, we don't talk a lot of college football, but this was interesting. Oklahoma goes into Ohio State, wins. I wouldn't say they manhandled Ohio State. The final score was indicative of a blowout, but really it was close up until the fourth quarter, really. So after the game, Baker Mayfield goes right to midfield, right at the 50, and plants an Oklahoma flag right in the center of the 50-yard line.
Terrell Owens was mad. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke.
What did you think of it? Because Baker Mayfield came out and apologized today, actually. Did you see his apology?
Yes, I did. I saw the apology.
Do you want to play it?
Yeah, go ahead. Play the apology, but I did hear it, yes. So I didn't think it was too... What's the word? Too apologetic, I guess, is what I'm saying. But
it sounded, so here you go.
Sounds like a prepared statement.
It was an emotional game. I told you guys that last week that it was, I knew that it was going to have a lot of implications on the playoffs. And so that's the way we were prepared. And so it was an emotional game. And so after the game, it did not mean for it to be disrespectful towards any Ohio State people at all, especially not the team or the players, because they're a great team and a great program. So I didn't mean it to be disrespectful at all. I mean, we do the flag thing at OU Texas, and so that's just something that I got caught up in an emotional win. And, you know, yeah, it should have been something I did in the locker room, so I apologize for doing it in the middle of the field.
You think it was a big deal?
If I was Ohio State, I'd be livid.
Yeah.
I'd play that. I'd take a picture of it and play it every day. I don't know if they play again next year, but I'd play it every day until I got my players were sick of it, so in that way. But overall, though, it's not a big deal on the large scheme of things. You just kind of shrug it off and move on. I don't buy it. That it was an emotional game. It was after the game. Where was his coaches? Where was his teammates? They all could have stopped him if he couldn't have.
Well,
stopped
yeah, someone
himself.
Rallied around.
I know
him.
That. I know that. And the band. Did you see the band? He had to like work their way through the band because the band was kind of like. They were not pushing him away, but kind of like gathering, trying to get him away. I don't know if you saw that, but overall. Not a big thing, but if I'm an Ohio State fan, I'm livid over the thing. I'm going crazy over it, to be honest with you.
It's an absolutely punk move.
Wow.
It's an absolutely punk move. It's a frat boy move. Big man
on. It is
on,
a frat boy move, yes.
It's a frat boy move. Big man on campus. Barstool Sports. Saturdays are for the boys now, kind of move.
Is it any different than when, like, Arizona State comes down to my school, Arizona, and they repaint the A in Arizona State colors, or we'll go up there and do something to the Rock or whatever? Or vice, is that the same thing or no?
No, because I think in rivalry games.
Because UCLA and USC does that too.
I think in rivalry games, certain things are accepted. You know, you're going to get this ornament if you win.
They guard the bear at UCLA, yeah, so nobody paints over it. And
you know, they
like
play, you know, if Army beats Navy, Navy's got to listen to the alma mater, vice versa. I think things in rivalry games are generally accepted. This is an absolutely punk move. And I'll say this, it bothers me. Is it wrong? No, not necessarily. Part of me loves this because it's great about college sports. Look at the emotion they play with. Most of me hates this because I know how I would feel if I were on the other side. I just wonder about this. Did he apologize, A, because Oklahoma made him apologize because it's a bad look? Or did he apologize because NFL executives might look at him differently?
No. I don't think nobody in the NFL said anything about it. They just worried about his play. They don't care about him planting a flag.
They don't?
No, they don't.
You don't think they, look
no,
at
they
him?
No, they don't, because they don't they don't care when people are beating women. They don't care. So, no, I don't think they care about planting
you know,
a flag.
I disagree with you. I think this would come up as a, quote, character concern.
Oh,
too flashy, too prima donna. I could see people thinking that in NFL circles.
And him getting tackled by the police when he was drunk in the offseason is not a character flaw. It took you to planting the flag at the 50-yard line to be a character. Believe me, this guy's got other character flaws. I don't know if you remember in the offseason.
He's been arrested.
He was tackled by the police. The police said, "We want to talk to you." So what does he do? He takes off. First of all, I got to wonder about your speed if you let some police officer catch you from behind.
Yeah.
Eric in Colchester said, if you don't like it, then, you know, don't let them beat you. How about that, Brady?
And I get that, too. But then don't tell me that you feel bad for Baker Mayfield when somebody takes a shot at him after a play. Or when there's unnecessary roughness on him.
That's okay, though?
No, I'm just saying, don't tell me that you feel bad for him when you bring some of this stuff on yourself. Baker Mayfield's making himself a target now by doing this. This is too much good boy, good buddy, frat boy humor. And, yes, I have a problem with it.
Yes, Jason. Yes, Jason. You're dying to talk. Go ahead.
It's humor, exactly like you just said, because it's funny. Nobody needs to get offended by it. Maybe this becomes the annual tradition in the game.
Yeah, but they don't play all the time.
Yeah, they don't play all the time.
They don't play every year.
When they do play.
Yeah. They played last year. And before that, it was like 1950 since they played last.
Why didn't he just take a can of spray paint and just, make the O into Oklahoma or something like that? You know, Oklahoma colors. Take it to the next level there, Brady.
Yes, I have a problem with it. I think it's a punk move. I think you play the game with some respect. I don't think that's a respectful move. And I do think NFL executives, some of them, will add it to the list of potential characters.
How about if you're on the road in Green Bay and you do the Lambeau Leap? Is that disrespectful?
Professional sports different than college to me. I would say it's disrespectful, but
really?
Professional sports is a little bit different.
Really? You think that's disrespectful to do the Lambeau Leap on the road?
People can do it, and if they don't catch you in the crowd and they push you back,
well, that's okay. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's disrespectful when T.O. puts the football at the star in Dallas when he's playing
the Sharpie.
San Francisco.
Because
that's not at anybody.
What about Ocho Cinco with the he had the yellow jacket?
But
on
that's not at somebody else.
Right.
This is when T.O. puts
still
the
showing up though. Showing the other
but
team
it's
off,
not
yeah.
disrespecting the other team's tradition or the other team's culture. When T.O. puts the football right in the middle of the star, that's a blatant sign of disrespect at the Cowboys in particular.
I want to know, because things are always nutty here in Vermont. You guys know better than I do. Anything like happened like this in college or high school over the years? Anybody get all chippy and do something after a game? Please text in 802-655-6672.
I mean, how would you like it if How would fans feel if you, Albany, had come in here and beaten Vermont basketball in the America East Championship game and then danced all over the logo?
Oh, I would have charged the court
at center court and been stomping on it.
I would have led the charge.
Yeah, and that's what happened in this case. So, absolutely, I bet you would have a problem with it, and I do as well.
A little bit of a difference on basketball than it is on football, though.
Why? That's still the same principle.
Because they're like, there's only like 12 games. So,
even Patriot fans, don't Patriot fans don't be hypocritical, Pats fans. You know as well as I do. You hate it when you see a guy wearing the shirt that says 18 wins and one giant loss.
I love that shirt.
Yeah, I know you do.
I got 100 of them.
But Patriot fans get so bent out of shape about that shirt because it's a stab at you personally. That's what this was.
I love that. I wear it for formal wear, beach wear. Yeah. I wear it to sleep, play basketball in. I wear it all over the place. 802-655-6672. Anybody on your team, any teams you play for ever do a punk move that you knew was wrong, but you're like, I got to go with it now. They're my teammates. I got
to
go.
Oh, I'm sure I'd really have to think about it through the break, but absolutely things like that have happened.
Wait a minute now, Brady. You might change your opinion on the Town Fair Tire text line, and that's a new one that came in, so why don't you read that one real quick?
He says, Ohio State sang their fight song on OU's field after they crushed them last year. Is it payback? That's Kevin from Essex.
Oh, you didn't know that. No, I didn't know that either. Is that kind of a punk move or not really to do something like that?
I think fight songs are a little bit different.
So that's not... Let me ask you this, okay?
Yeah. If Florida, now this doesn't happen, right? Florida State has King Osceola, is that his name?
The one that throws the flaming spear into the ground. Right.
If Chief Osceola took that flaming spear to Miami and planted it right on center field,
there's a fight going on.
I don't think people would like that.
No, they would not like that.
This is the exact same thing.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know. You know, sometimes you think it's just kind of playful banter, one-upmanship, stuff like that. Because look what goes on in the NFL now. I mean, it's all about the next dance. It's all about the next celebration, Brady.
I think playful humor is one thing, but I also think for a guy who hopes to be maybe hopes to be the Heisman Trophy winner, hopes to be a guy who could be drafted in the first round of the NFL draft potentially, I don't think it's a good look.
You got to be geeking out. Geek me out on the Indians and their streak. The Dodgers, the only team in baseball history to... 14-1 and 1-14 in the same year or something like that? No, I'm serious. Is that the stat there? It's absolutely incredible what's going on.
Well, bottom line, the Indians have won 18 straight. It's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
And the reason why you need to care about this is that the Indians have now passed the Astros for best record in the American League, and that would make it right now a Red Sox-Astros first-round matchup rather than a Red Sox-Indians first-round matchup.
I didn't even think about it that way. And the Dodgers are only up by four games. Remember, they had the lead like they're only up like four games
on Washington. Yeah,
that's insane.
So
that's crazy.
So the Red Sox right now, they were playing Cleveland. If the playoffs had ended yesterday, they were going to play Cleveland. Or the regular season ended yesterday, they were going to play Cleveland in the first round of the playoffs. Now they'd be playing Houston in the first round.
I'm okay with that. Are you not?
Well, I think...
After winning 18 in a row, did you say? Yeah.
I think there's good and bad to both. Indians' pitching staff is far better than Houston's. Indians had the motivation of losing last year in the World Series, so I would like to avoid them. But Houston's offense is so scary that you're going to have to... I don't know that the Red Sox pitching staff can hold down that offense.
Where are your stats? Because isn't it the first time two teams have had like 14 or 15-game winning streaks or something to that effect? I mean, this is an absolutely crazy time in baseball. What's going on with the Dodgers? What's going on with Cleveland? I mean, it's crazy with the winning streak. Arizona, right? Arizona.
I mean, J.D. Martinez has 21 home runs in 45 games.
With baseball, I've never seen it this crazy with winning streaks and losing streaks from the same teams, Brady. It's crazy. Is it not or what?
Ken Kreitz would like you to know that he missed you trashing him on the air, but he wants you to know that he has a Dolphin and a Buck who are high-priority players who he had to sit this week.
Yes, I'm sure that was the reason. I'm sure that's the reason, because otherwise you'd have 48 points instead of 43 points. What does it say? Does Brady think a punk move? What does it say there, Brady?
Does Brady think it's a punk move to intentionally hit an opposing hitter because he faked that he was bunting on a 3-0 count?
Oh, didn't you do that? You did that, Brady.
The punk move is to fake bunt on a 3-0 count. I'm answering the punk move.
He listens, Brady.
He does listen. He also goes, and FYI, I'm offended by the frat boy reference. Was Brady in a fraternity? No, I wasn't in a fraternity. I was on the baseball team.
Yeah, I was in a fraternity. Alpha Kappa Lambda, AKL. Yes.
Is that a sanctioned fraternity?
It was a sanctioned fraternity until they closed this down, all the way up till then.
You and your brother Keg.
My fraternity brother, Keg.
Keg, Juice, the whole crew.
It was Keg, Resin, Quiche, and
what were you?
Spiggy. So that was all our nicknames. Those are just nicknames. I'm changing the names to protect the innocent, Brady.
That's what I'm sure.
All right, what's coming up next? What's coming up before we finish off hour number one?
Tumultuous week on the field, tumultuous week in the NFL as far as injuries go. We'll get you latest on the injury report.
That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, how do you deal with this guy? It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, we don't got a lot of time. Jason Sehorn going to join us in about a minute from now. So quickly go over the injury report.
Yeah, the injury report from yesterday, not a good one if you're a fantasy owner or a fan of the Arizona Cardinals, because David Johnson, he's going to get surgery on that wrist, it looks like, and probably going to go on IR and miss a couple of months. That's the big one. He probably went first or second in all of your fantasy drafts, so he's going to be out for a while. Eric Berry of the Chiefs, we knew after the season, torn Achilles. Allen Robinson of the Jaguars looks like he's out for the season, the star wide receiver. Torn ACL, also on Ken Kreitz's fantasy team, by the way. And Orlando Scandrick of the Cowboys out for week two with that hand injury sustained yesterday, but does look to be okay overall.
All right, there you go. Some of the injury reports. Ken Kreitz getting a little bent out of shape as his team is horrible. Look at him getting all bent out of shape, Brady. Hey, you know what? If you can't take the knocks, don't be in the big time league there. You know what I'm saying? I had a bad one too. I had a bad one also. So
you're gonna have a bunch of bad ones.
Yeah. Well, I got to go ahead and regroup. My running backs were awful. All right. 1 hour in the books. Jason's gonna have a Sports Center update. Then Jason Sehorn, former defensive back with my New York Giants, will stop on by. We'll talk to him right here on 101.3 ESPN. All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Hour one in the books. We'll speak to Jason Sehorn in about a minute from now, and then we got Monday Mirages, Brady, coming up at 20 past the hour.
So, and don't forget the big announcement.
Oh, yeah, which I don't even know what it is. That's why I keep forgetting, because I don't know what we're going to be doing.
Well, at 5:15, and after we're off the phone with Jason Sehorn, I'm going to tell everybody, including you, what the first of our four big contests are this fall. Look, every time we have just tickets to anything, people are calling off the hook. This is another thing that you're going to be calling like crazy for. I promise you. And I kind of teased it last week, and I'll just tell you again, if you're a fan of things national, but also local.
Like my national show that's on quarter of a
million. No, not like your national show.
That's my
bad. If you are a fan of national things and local things, it's a good tie-in for you. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say.
I see our buddy Big Dave is texting on in, the one that's dropped the 40 point or 30 points against Vermont.
Back in the day,
who's like 54 years old. I think I could take him in a one-on-one, Brady. I really feel like I could do that. You're doubting me just because he's tall, but...
Well, he's taller.
He looks
like he could shoot better.
Why does he look like he could shoot better? He looks a lot older than me, though.
Because he played Division I.
100 years ago,
you didn't even play high school 100 years ago.
No, but maybe I'm better than him now. But just because he was better than me 30 years ago, that doesn't mean he's better than me now, for crying out loud.
I think it does.
Oh, I don't think it does, Brady. Don't think it does.
He texts in and he goes, anytime, Arnie. Anytime.
All right. We'll take care of that.
You don't play outside because you're weak.
That's true. I don't play outside.
For a while, you were calling yourself LaArnie Ball.
Yes.
I'm now calling you LaSoft McCoy.
Wow. Because I won't play outside and ruin my kneecaps. The last time I played outside, I was taking care of you and Jason like crazy. So are we still trying to get a hold of Jason Sehorn? We'll see if we can go and figure that out, because... do we ask him about being a white cornerback?
You asked him about that the last time.
Oh, did I ask him about that? I'll have to ask him about it being again. I know that probably irritates him, so maybe I'll stay away from that question.
He told the story he wore long sleeves no matter the weather so he could cover up his appearance because he didn't want to be asked about being a white corner? Do you remember that?
Well,
we had him on like a year ago.
I know, but that doesn't really... Did he wear a full ski mask or something like that also to cover up his face? Otherwise, that's still a dead giveaway. I don't know about you, Brady, but I don't think just covering up your arms is going to hide the fact that you're white, to be honest with you.
He just said he didn't want to draw attention to it. He just wanted to fit in and be one of the guys.
Yeah, so if I could play in the NFL, I'd want to be a corner. There's no doubt. A corner and a field goal kicker, because I love the pressure. I love the pressure. Just give me a chance for the game-winning field goal.
Well, you got pressure now because Big Dave says, do you want to play basketball on Wednesday?
I play basketball on Wednesdays over at the Wilson Central School. I can't take away from that, Brady. But if he wants to meet over there, we'll get... He may be too old for that game, for the game on Wednesday.
No, yeah. Stop.
By the way, I'm playing hockey tomorrow. You know, I got my hockey game on Tuesday, so...
Yeah, but you're not good. You didn't score.
I had two assists, but I'm good at hockey.
You didn't score.
I'm going to write down Big Dave's number. I'll give him a call and figure it out. I think Jason Sehorn's calling in now, a former defensive back with the Giants. So we'll talk to him about what happened 16 years ago on 9/11, where he was obviously in New York. And, of course, playing for the Giants, who looked absolutely awful, Brady. And the defense, look, I think they were great considering they were on the field most of the time. I'm curious to see what's going to happen when they get Odell Beckham back. and they're able to go ahead and muster a few drives out there and keep the defense on the sideline, for crying out loud. That's what I want to know. But other than that, they were just awful.
I want to know from Jason Sewan what the practice is like after you get your backside handed to you like that.
Well, you can't make them go too crazy, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, these are professional players. You don't want them to, you know, get banged up during practice. You got to save it for the games, you know? You got to save it for that. You can't punish them like they're college kids, you know?
It's not, I'm not saying wind sprints and all that. I'm just saying, what's it like in the meeting room the days after?
Who would be the worst? It's got to be going, meeting Nick Saban after a game, a game they got clobbered.
Nick Saban would be tough.
Oh, that'd be absolutely miserable. Do we got him on the line as we go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line? Joining us now, former defensive back with the New York Giants, it's Jason Sehorn. How you doing, Jason?
I'm very well. Enjoying the opening weekend of football.
Yeah, and we want to talk plenty about football, but Jason, before we do, we want to ask you about 9/11. It is the 16-year anniversary. You were in New York at that time with the Giants. What do you remember about that day specifically?
I just think the somberness of it all. I just remember how eerie it was. It was so quiet. Waking up, remember we had taken a red eye in from Denver the night before. We landed about 5 o'clock in the morning. Most of us pretty tired, went home, got a nap, and when I woke up, all felt like all hell had broken loose. But when you got on the roads, like, there was nobody on the roads, and there was just smoke coming up from Manhattan, not real sure exactly what had happened. And then as the day progressed and more information came out and photos, it was kind of just like one of those sucker punch deals where you just felt like, literally you've just been blindsided by something that you would have never imagined.
How do you go on and play football after something like that? How do you gather yourself back up and in a short time get back on the football field without, that being a distraction?
That was a difficult part for us in New York was our practice facility and practice fields overlook the city. And so we can see the skyline of the city. And so you've seen these two buildings every single day and every single practice, whether you're in the indoor facility or not. You're walking out and you see them as you go out there, and now all of a sudden they're gone, replaced with smoke. And, fortunately, we canceled that weekend's game, so we had some time to just regroup, so to speak. And then the next week it was more about, all right, let's provide some distraction. We don't pretend that what we do is life-altering, but at the same point in time, we know that in, cities around the U.S., sports provide a distraction, some entertainment level, maybe, something to get away from. So we wanted to, get back to playing games and bring our fans back out and give them something else to think about instead of what just happened.
Hey, Jason, we focused a lot over the last year. The focus has been on people protesting the flag. But in the days after 9/11 and the months after 9/11, did it remind you just how unifying the flag can be also? What was the vibe like in New York and around the NFL at that time?
The vibe around the U.S. was all about the flag and what it stood for and what our country stood for. I can still remember people put them on their cars, stickers, and they're waving from, trucks, had them, big flags stuck out their tailgates, their truck beds. Every single field that we played on that Sunday had a flag the size of the field draped across it. I mean, it stood for something and it meant something. And, it is a little, disappointing to see people's decision to use that or go after that. But, I mean, listen, we live in a country that you're afforded free speech. Yep. You face the repercussions of those free speech, but you have it. And if that's how you choose to use it, that's your cause and that's your voice. Yep.
Jason Sehorn joining us on the TikTok Jewish guest line. All right, Jason, how the heck do you play corner in the NFL now? You can't hit him high. You can't hit him in the head. You can't hit the defensive receiver. You can't do this. You can't hit the quarterback. You can't hit him after 5 yards. How do you even play the game anymore at that position?
I watch it, and I tell you what, it'd be awful difficult. You got to be a little quick guy. Size and speed, that I had wouldn't have worked out as well because I use my physicality to get in people's faces, to jam the line of scrimmage, to hit them, and you can't even grab them from the back of the jersey anymore. I mean, there are actually places with which you cannot tackle somebody, and I'm not talking about hitting them, low with your helmet while they don't have the ball. I'm talking about when the player has the ball, there are actually areas you can no longer tackle him from. We all get the head, and the part about that that's so difficult is you tell me how I'm supposed to go run and safely take my head out of the play.
Yeah.
If I turn my head, then I'm going to break my neck. It's just, there's some things that I realize they're trying to do for safety, but they're making it awful difficult, and I don't think they care because there's more points on the board, and that's what they want.
Jason, people complain that the preseason is too long. Well, if the preseason is so long, how did so many teams come out unprepared yesterday? I mean, I could think of 8 to 10 teams that completely laid an egg.
Because here's what happens. So they get in the preseason, and you have these practices, and there's no more two-a-days, right? So you just have these practices
right.
where everything's non-touch, non-contact. You're trying to preserve everybody. Then you get the games, and nobody wants to play in the games because they're just preseason. They don't make anything, so we don't put our players in the games, and nobody gets the rhythm of live game speed. Then all of a sudden the season begins, and guess what? It's all live. It's all full speed, and defenses have the upper edge because it's easy to turn that switch on. It's easy to run through somebody. It's easy to hit somebody and tackle somebody. It's far more difficult when you rely on timing and rhythm and patterns and routes and an understanding of the relationship between a quarterback and a receiver. And that's why you see defenses coming out of the box a little bit quicker than offenses. They'll pick up after time, but it's because nobody wants to get hurt. You know, you'd rather your guy get hurt week one playing in a real game than week two in the preseason.
I'm curious. Fans are knee-jerk reactions. Are players the same way? Like, if you were playing for the Giants right now, you go to the locker room after that game and that disgusting loss to the Cowboys, fans are saying, that's it, Giants are done. Eli needs to retire. Do you say that to yourself? Do you go, damn, it's going to be a long year if we play like this all year? Or do you say, everybody relax, it's just game one?
I mean, it's game one. Like, you walk in and you're like, holy hell, all right. So we clearly have some work to do. We're going to spend a lot of time in the film room and on practice or in practice this week. But you don't think like, oh, woe is me. We lost one. We're going 0-16. It's over. I mean, like I said, stuff happens. Like, you're missing your best player on offense. You're talking about a team that hasn't been able to run the ball effectively in years. I mean, you tell me the last solid running back they had, and it might be Tiki Barber. I mean, that's how far back you might have to go for a consistent down-in,
Ron Dane, I don't know.
But, I mean, you just haven't had a running game. And they've won Super Bowls without it, but you're not going to do that consistently. I saw something the other day that really struck me, though, and this is where the Giants, as an organization, need to kind of look at themselves in the mirror. I think Eli Manning is 8-0 in the playoffs in his entire career, and that's 2 4-game runs that they got on, if I read that correctly. And so there are some issues. All right, they've got some things to fix. But this isn't some perennial team that's, you know, winning games in the playoffs on a regular basis. Like, they've got some issues and some holes that they've got to fix. But it's week one. There is time, not week four.
Jason Ceoren, former Giants cornerback. But, Jason, since retirement, you've also been doing work for ESPN, doing a lot of college football. I got to ask you this. What did you make of the Baker Mayfield thing? What do you think of him planting the flag at midfield?
Loved it. I'm sorry. I always thought college was about passion and rivalry. You know what I mean? And that unknown, unbridled enthusiasm. This isn't, you know, a business. This isn't a job. He's not going to have to worry about playing this team twice a year every year. Listen, that was just spontaneous. It happened. He was excited, and he remembers. This is what people forget. He remembers losing last year at home and OU singing their fight song on his field. When I was at USC, we won many games in a row. We never sung our fight song. We were in some corner of the end zone singing our fight song. It's like, what was that about? So, hey, payback. You know what they say. I mean, turnabout is fair play. I mean, you beat them, they beat you. You chose to sing your fight song, they chose to stick a flag in the middle of the field.
Well, Baker Mayfield apologized today, and I guess we'll get you out of here on this. Did he apologize, A, because Oklahoma decided this is a bad look for us, or B, he realized, man, I've already done some questionable things in my career. I don't need another thing to the list as I start to think about the NFL.
I'll give you A, B. I think, you know, when you think about his offseason and some of the stuff he's gone through, he probably just thought, like, all right, this is my reputation. I'm selling it myself. Maybe people are going to look at me differently as maybe as a, unsportsmanlike. I don't know. And then maybe, you know, the university was like, hey, you know, let's kind of like backtrack off that a little bit. It's getting a lot of play. But, hey, I look at it this way. He went in there. He played lights out. They thumped Ohio State. He stuck the flag in the middle of the field. They won. Now, they owned that field that day. All right, well, guess what? They got on the bus. They got on a plane. They went back home. The flag went with them. There's no flag in the middle of the field. If you don't lose, they don't get to do that. How's that?
Hey, last thing on this. You're going to USC, of course. What's a bigger rivalry, USC, UCLA, or the Giants, Cowboys?
Wow. I'm going to go with I'm going to go with USC-UCLA. Crosstown rival, you're 12 miles apart. And here's why, because, you know, when you think about the NFL, you've also got, you know, Giants-Philly, Washington-Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not the only team they play, whereas, you know, UCLA and USC, there's nobody else that really compares. I guess you could bring Notre Dame into the mix a little bit for USC, but for UCLA, you know, that's it. It's a crosstown rivalry in Los Angeles. It would be like if the Jets and Giants played every single year in the same division. But like I said, the reason I say that isn't demeaning or diminishing of the NFL one. It's just, man, watching it, I think the Redskins and Cowboys have a big rivalry. I think the Giants and Eagles have a big rivalry. Yeah. So it's like, to put it down to one, too difficult in the NFL.
All right, Jason. Hey, always a pleasure. Next time we have you on, we'll talk Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, the whole quarterback crew out there.
All day right there.
Take care, Jason. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Absolutely. Have a good evening.
All right, Jason Sehorn, obviously former New York Giant and one of the more popular New York Giants in the history of Giant football. No
well,
doubt about
he
that.
He played at a time. Now, the Giants got to the Super Bowl in 2000. They lost to the Ravens. But along with Amani Toomer and Tiki Barber, I mean, he was a face of the Giants. It wasn't just a guy. He was a good player, and he was one of the faces of the team.
Some guy ripping you and I using words that I can't even pronounce or even know what the meaning was. So, I mean, how about that? He's using big words out there, Brandon.
Oh, the guy in the text line?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still mad at me for saying that it was a frat boy type move, but...
Is it the same guy getting on you? Oh, my goodness. He won't let it go.
I said the Baker Mayfield thing was a frat boy-like move. Yes,
I going to walk you to your car? Jeez.
It was a Saturdays or for the boys type move. It was big man on campus, coolest kid in the class.
You were Jason Sehorn. He loved it.
Yeah, you know, and I do understand that it is supposed to be fun, but when you think about it from Baker Mayfield's standpoint, I do think that coupled with all his other things that he has done and been through, I think that weighs into his reputation as he heads towards the NFL. I don't think it's a great look. I would hate it as a Buckeye fan or a Buckeye player. And if I'm an NFL executive, it raises me an eyebrow. So, no, I don't think it was good.
All right. We have some contest coming up here, don't we? It's a big announcement, because I don't know what it is.
Yes, big announcement. I'm excited for this. Actually, I'm very excited for this. You're going to want to get your phones out on this one right away.
I don't know what it is, but yes.
So we're blending local and national. How about this? On October 6th, which is a Friday, Ryan Rosillo of ESPN Radio and a UVM grad.
Love Ryan.
He is coming to Burlington. He is doing his show live, his national ESPN show. He's doing it live at Red Square downtown right on Church Street. He's going to do his show 1 to 4. We're going to do our show 4 to 7.
Are we going to do our local show, or are we going to be on ESPN National?
We're going to be doing our local show.
Oh, just local. Okay,
we're going to be hanging out with Ryan. So Ryan Rosillo in Burlington on October 6th. 1 to 4, his show at Red Square. We're on after 4 to 7. Here's the cool part for you.
I was about to say, what are we giving away?
Here's the contest part right now. We want to give some people some VIP access to ESPN Radio Day.
Ah.
Ryan Rosillo and us. If we get the sixth person to call in right now, here's what you're going to get. People, Jason, you can't take these calls right now.
No,
they're calling
no,
in. We don't even know what they're
giving
yet.
Where are you going?
I didn't say I was going to say they're cheaters.
No, yeah. You can't do
you
that.
You can't take them yet.
Okay.
Here's what's going to happen.
They're like Patriot fans. Stop it.
Rosillo is going to have a meet and greet with you before the show. If you're a VIP, caller number 6 today. Rosillo, pre-show meet and greet. You're going to get front row access to his show and our show. You're going to get food and drinks for the day taken care of.
Get out of here.
You're also going to get Ryan Rosillo swag. You're going to get ESPN Radio swag. You're going to get some swag from us. It's all going to be an absolute blast. That's October 6th. And now, Jason, caller number 6 at 802-655-6672. Look, don't call in if you can't go. Friday, October 6th, 1 to 7, your time is booked. Rosillo, us, pre-show meet and greet with Ryan. You're also going to get food and drinks on us.
Wow. So start calling now, 802-655-6672. Also, when we get back, we'll have a winner, and we'll get to Monday Mirages right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for Monday Mirages with The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Brought to you by Shelburne Iworks. No mirages here. Nothing but clear vision. Route 7 in Shelburne and ShelburneIworks.com.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Lots going on. It's a Monday. We're going to take you through this Monday, get you back into your work week. And before you know it, Friday will be right around the corner. I know we're still getting texts out there. What did Cody in St. Albans write? I can't even read that, Brad. I got to get new glasses.
Cody in St. Albans. I don't get Pat fans. They lose one game and they are crying. Come on. Grow up. It's the first game of the season.
No, they're done. They are done.
Oh,
no, they are done. That's why I wish I could go out to Vegas and put all my kids' college funds.
You don't have any money left because you bet all the Giants.
But I'll sell my car. I will sell my car, and then I'll take a couple days off. I'll fly out to Vegas, and then I'll put it all on the Dolphins to win the AFC East. I feel pretty good about that. All right, it is time for Monday Mirages. Thanks to our friends over at Shelburne Eyeworks. Oh, Jason's on it today. You are on your game. What is wrong with you today? Look at you. I'm shocked.
One time I have to be, right?
Oh, I guess there's a first time for everything. All right, Jason, what is first up for Monday Mirages? Thanks to our friends over at Shelburne Eyeworks.
The Giants' loss was the most disappointing loss of week one. Is that real or a mirage?
I'll start that. No, that's a mirage. I said Cincinnati was worse. Houston was worse. Jeez, even the Colts were. The Colts might have been the worst only for the fact that they lose to the Rams. Was it 46-9, 42-9? What was the score?
It was like, yeah, 46-9.
And the only thing that made that worse was Chuck Pagano going, yeah, you got to give the 49ers a lot of credit. But you weren't playing the 49ers, knucklehead. Maybe that's why you lost. You maybe prepared for the wrong team. I don't know. I think I've got to go with Cincinnati playing at home, getting shut out by Baltimore.
I'll go. It's a mirage also. I'll go Houston. Houston playing a division foe at home gets a loss. They lay an egg. They bench their quarterback. And I know you want to give Houston the excuse and say, well, hey, they've been through a lot. And yeah. I understand that. But because you had all that emotion behind you, you were trying to provide for the fans. I thought that was going to work in their favor. And they were absolutely out of it from the first snap.
All right, guys, the next question. The quality of play on Sunday makes you feel better about the Patriots, real or mirage?
Well, that's can I triple down on that? Can I go to Vegas and spend all my money and say real, real, real? The Patriots put up 27 points on Thursday against a team that gave up the seventh fewest points in the NFL. The Patriots scored 27 points when nearly nobody could score yesterday. Even teams that won couldn't put up 27 points. Week one, the quality of play was terrible. Even Pittsburgh and Green Bay teams that won that we expect to be good did not look good. I'm feeling a whole lot better about what I saw from New England.
Actually, if I'm a Patriot fan and even a Giant fan, I have reason to be optimistic because you're right. There was a lot of garbage teams out there. Even teams that won, they were garbage. You mentioned Pittsburgh. Seven of them came on a blocked punt that they got and were up to a 7-0 lead. Otherwise, they only mustered 14 points. Bills, Jets were just disgusting. Actually, I thought a team that played well were the Bears. Should have probably beat Atlanta, and they dropped the ball a couple of times in the end zone when it was first and goal. Otherwise, the Cardinals looked terrible. Even Detroit in their victory looked disgusting in the first half. Obviously, it's got to get better, Brady, but it's just going to take like a week or two. But, yeah, if my team was one of the teams that lost in week number one, I'd feel pretty good about the rest of the way.
All right, guys, the next one. You have a problem with any player that protests the anthem tonight since it's 9/11?
Yeah, I do. Mirage. Yeah, I do. Brady, what game was yesterday? Baseball game where the manager came out to argue with the umpires. They were about to go at it. They were just about to get heated up. You could tell the words were coming heated. They played the national anthem. They all stopped, took their hats off right in mid-argument.
Wow.
To show respect for the song. They just stopped. It was fantastic. I just loved it. Yeah, I got a big problem with this. I know there's a lot of protests going on. I understand what's happening in our world, here in the United States. But if there's just one time that maybe you can understand why that's not a good idea, I would think that this is probably the one time you shouldn't be doing something like that.
That's real. I'm with you and pretty much echo exactly what you just said. There are racial injustices in this country. There are plenty of things about this country that need fixing. But to me, to sit down today to protest the anthem today is not the way to do it. Today is a day to honor those who died. Today is a day to honor the good of what the flag stands for. If you're going to protest the anthem, I hope players will do it in a different way rather than just sitting down. This is not the day to do it. I felt that way a year ago. And a lot of players who did protest last season did change up their stance in week one, including Colin Kaepernick, if I'm not mistaken, because of 9/11.
Can you imagine if you're a player and you had a brother or a sister that was killed in the attacks, and somebody was disrespecting and protesting the song on 9/11. I mean, how would that make you feel?
No, it would not make me feel good at all. I hope this is something that teams have addressed. Denver did have some players sit last year, kneel during the anthem, especially in week one.
And in Cleveland, what did they have? The first responders, the police, and the firemen come out with the players.
And I thought that was good. Because
I loved it.
Yeah, Cleveland had been one of the teams that they had the 12 players kneel, and they were huddled around each other in the preseason game. That game, I want to say it was against the Giants. I think they handled it well yesterday. I think the city of Cleveland handled it well. I hope that today the four teams that are playing, if they do have players that feel strongly about their protest, I hope they take it in a different direction today than kneeling.
All right, Jason, what's the next one up?
All right, you guys think Baker Mayfield needed to apologize for planting the flag at the Ohio State 50? Real or mirage?
You've been vocal on this, Brady.
I'll say he didn't need to apologize. I just wish he hadn't done it in the first place. He did it, so he might as well have just kept it. I didn't like it. It felt like a punk move. It felt disrespectful. I know I'm generally less fun than other people, Arnie. I'm less into trash talk. Like, I get that, and I'm okay with that. I don't enjoy seeing Mayfield do this. I found it disrespectful. I am skewed. My entire family is Buckeyes fans, so I was watching that game with a rooting interest in Ohio State, so I understand my answer comes with some bias. I don't think it's a good look for Mayfield individually, a guy who's been through a lot in this offseason. He's been arrested. I don't think it looks good on his profile as he goes towards the NFL, so I don't think he should have done it, but I don't think it needed an apology, no.
I don't think it needed an apology. I'm glad that he did, though, because I'm sure they forced him. What's worse, though, Brady, taking the flag and planting it in midfield on the other team's surface, on the other team's field, or when you're up, let's say, 50-7, and on the last play of the game, you're throwing for a touchdown?
Yeah.
What's worse, Brady? You tell me.
Man, I would probably say the latter. I would probably say you're running up to score, things like that.
That would bother you a lot more.
Yes.
Than somebody taking the flag and pointing it on your team's 50-yard line.
Yes.
I don't know. You get upset about that when other teams kind of don't back off or when they have a big lead.
It bothers me because I do believe firmly that there's a right way to play and a wrong way to play, and I don't think all things are in good fun. I think things that are personal and I take them personal.
Well, because there's a lot of college teams that will run it up on you. They do that. That's how I got my nickname, the Stinking Genius, because I saw Nebraska running up against Arizona State passing when they're up 70-21, Brady, and they're passing to make it 77. What are you doing?
Never been a fan of running up the score, never been a fan of disrespecting your opponent, believe in winning with class, believing in losing with class. I think for the most part, people do generally do that, and I think you don't throw a jab unless you've been given a jab. And for the people who say, oh, hey, they sang their fight song last year, maybe that was the jab that justifies it. But overall, I didn't think it was a good look for Mayfield.
All right, Jason, what's the last one?
All right, the last one is, do you like the Red Sox potentially matching up with the Astros better than the Indians?
You know what? I don't know what to say, because if you would ask me 3 weeks ago, I'm like, yeah, it's great with the Indians. Now the Indians win 18 in a row. Oh, okay, let's go with the Astros. But when the Astros picked up Verlander, I'm like, no, I don't want to play them either. I don't know. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. You know what? Do I want to play the Indians now? No, they've won 18 in a row. Am I going to want to play the Astros? No, watch. They'll win 10 in a row by the time we get to them. It doesn't really make a difference at this point, Brady.
I'll say real for now, but again, it does have the ability to change. I think that the Indians have a better pitching staff. They play in colder weather, and for a team that doesn't hit the ball with any kind of power, as the Red Sox don't, I think it's going to be hard to put runs on the board playing in Cleveland. The Astros have a worse pitching staff. They play in a warmer area where the ball is likely to travel. I think that would help the Red Sox offense. The pitching staff of the Red Sox would have their hands full because of that Astros offense. All in all, I'd say I'd rather try to neutralize the great offense than I would try to beat the good pitching. So I'll say yes.
You're into the baseball playoffs this year.
Yes.
I mean, the storylines
are great.
The Dodgers, the Astros. But the Dodgers might not even make it to the World Series after the start they got. They were going to have the most wins in baseball history this year.
Well, they would have had to go 24-0 in their final 21 to catch the Mariners.
Because of the recent losing streak where they lost, 14-15 or some garbage like that.
Unbelievable.
How do you lose that many games after you just dominated? I don't understand that.
Complacency, I guess, would be the easy answer.
No injuries, though. No, they even got Clayton Kershaw back, and they're the worst.
Complacency would be the easy answer, but I don't know that it's the right one.
Dodgers-Yankees would be phenomenal. Dodgers-Yankees World Series ratings through the roof. Trust me on that. It would get absolutely crazy on that. There you go. That is Monday Mirages. Thanks to our friends over at Shelbert Iwerks. Brady, you were at Shelbert Iwerks. I know you like to go there a lot. Check out all their new frames and stuff like that. So I want to go ahead and thank them for sponsoring it, because they've been with us from day one. Shelbert Iwerks on Route 7. One of your favorite stores, Brady. I do know that. So,
they just got a fresh stack of Oakleys for both adults and kids, so I know exactly where I'm going tomorrow before I get into work.
Champaign Valley game night, what's coming up tonight?
We're going to talk to you about the Patriots. News on the running back front, the Patriots have lost a running back, and we'll tell you about how they're using their running backs.
All right. Brady and I go head-to-head in our fantasy team. We'll let you know how that worked out. We'll tell you how our picks worked out. The Lake Monsters looking to clinch a spot in the next round. We'll get to all that coming up right here.
We got a call. Do we have a call?
I haven't checked my phone yet. Yeah.
I think we got a call from Adam. Do you want to take it real quick?
Yeah, Adam in where? Adam,
I don't know where Adam's
Adam,
from.
Adam, you're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, listen, I was at the Oklahoma-Ohio State game Saturday.
Wow.
And I just wanted to weigh in on the whole Baker Mayfield flag planting.
Yeah,
go ahead, Adam.
All right, so I really think, and I'll tell you, by the time that happened, there wasn't a person left in that stadium to see it. On top of that, anybody that stayed to sing the fight song after the game, which in case the planet didn't know, Ohio State sings after every single game, win or lose. The Oklahoma fans cheering for their guys completely drowned that song out, and I don't think a single person there had a problem with what he did even after they heard about it, because no one was there to see it. I think everybody's concern was the fact that Ohio State got spanked so badly that they had way more issues than whatever Mayfield did.
Did you go to Oklahoma?
I think Mayfield really carried the burden of last year's loss on his shoulders. And I think he kind of exercised some demons. And nobody I know had a problem with it. And it seems like there's more talk about it now than there was late on Saturday night.
Well, that's because maybe a lot of people didn't see it Saturday night. There was so much going on in the Georgia-Notre Dame game just ended. Did you go to Oklahoma?
No, my stepfather played at Ohio State. He was on the 68 team.
Wow.
And he decided to send me and my son out there for this past weekend, which was a pretty sweet deal.
Wow, that sounds like and I appreciate you getting in, Adam. Thanks a lot. That's a lot of fun, Brady. I love going to college football. That's like an all-day experience, to be honest.
I've been to an Ohio State game at the Shoe. My dad went to Kent State, which is down the road from Ohio State. But my uncle went to Ohio State, so we went to Ohio State in Akron back in 2008. No, 2007, at this point 10 years ago, but it was a great experience.
All right, we'll come back. All the last segment stuff coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Right now, Brady's looking at Arnie and thinking, I have to deal with this all summer. The Huddle is back. 101.3 ESPN.
Hi, welcome back. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Rich going to be back on Wednesday. So, wow, took that 4 months, flew by like crazy. Unbelievable.
I know. A lot of people were like, man, you got to give him time. You got to give him time to get back into it. It's like, he gets 2 days. He gets 2 days off Monday, Tuesday, and then he's back on the air on Wednesday.
I wouldn't have given him 2 days. He's lucky I didn't have a say in this.
You would have been back on the air today.
Today would have been say, get your butt back in the work, man. That's what you get for taking four months
off. Well, he listens, so I hope he texts in.
4 months off of doing nothing. Unbelievable.
Doing nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
The only thing that was doing nothing was your fantasy team against me.
Wow, it was awful.
Maybe I'll plant my flag against your team's midfield.
My running backs did nothing. I'm down like, what, 30 points to you or something like that?
Yeah, you need a 30-point performance out of Michael Thomas for the Saints.
And then my brother, who was my consultant, comes screams at me because I picked the Giants defense like that was going to make a difference in my fantasy team. And how about Ken Kreitz, just the worst team in all of fantasy league in our league.
Well, that's because he had a lot of his big players didn't play.
Me too. My big players didn't play either.
Neither did mine. I didn't have Jarvis Landry or Devontae Parker.
And he still did crappy. Come on, Ken. Stop it.
I had the highest scoring total in the league this week.
Did you really?
Yep. 97 points.
No wonder I lost. I'm going to get 80 something. I didn't even have a good game. I'm still feeling confident. And how does the waiver wire work? Do you know how that works?
Yeah, you go to the waiver wire and you try to pick up somebody.
Who gets that person?
Well, there's
a first come, first service. I did mine yesterday.
There's a priority list. Who do you try to pick up?
Well, if I tell you, then you're going to try to pick him up, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. Who is it?
Well, wait, what's the priority? How does the priority list go?
It goes generally by who's made moves, but at the very beginning of the week, I think it goes inverse order of where you picked in the draft, in which case you would be first.
Oh, I would be first then. I picked up the running back for the Bears.
Oh, Cohen?
Yeah.
What you need is the running back for the Cardinals now that David Johnson's out.
That's true, too. See, this is why I'm bad at fantasy football. But I like that guy. I've got good running backs. They just didn't play well.
You are first on the waiver wire.
Yes.
I am seventh.
Did you pick anybody up?
No, not yet, but now I'm going to try to pick up the running back for Arizona.
I'll do that, too. I can pick up both of them.
Well, you're going to get the Bears guy.
I like that guy.
And then you're going to go to 12th.
Yeah, and then I still got Martin coming back from his suspension in about 3 weeks. I'll have a good team. I'm fine. I'm going to be okay.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Chances are you're not.
I am. I'm going to be okay. It's just Ken Kreitz who should be. We should throw him out of the league and redraft. His team is so bad. It's like an easy win every week. It's terrible. It's horrible. I don't know what he must have been drafted with his eyes closed.
By the way, how'd you do in your picks from Friday? I went 2-1.
I went 2-1 also. So, yeah.
So which game did you lose?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I don't remember which one.
Well,
I had the Rams and I had
Cleveland.
Cleveland too.
So you got that right.
Yeah, I must have lost something. I can't remember what it was.
You don't remember? Look, I went 2-1. I had Detroit +2 at home. They won outright.
Yeah.
Beating Arizona. I had
Green Bay.
I had Green Bay -3 over Seattle. They won by 8.
That was easy.
And then I had Houston -5.5 against Jacksonville. And
that was horrible.
If I was actually betting money, that's the one I would have felt strongest about, yeah. And it totally backfired.
I had Cleveland +9.5, so that was a backdoor cover there. I forgot the other one I won. But, I went 2-1 of my picks also. So we're off to a decent start. I'll take 2-1 every week, to be
honest.
Does
Rich get an 0-3 just right off the bat just because?
Believe me, he'll go 0-3 as soon as he jumps on it. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Tell me what's going on with the Lake Monsters. I got Lake Monster fever.
The Lake Monsters looking to clinch a spot in the New York Penn League title series.
Wow.
Tonight. They win on Saturday night at home. They're down 3-1 in the seventh. Then they hit a grand slam on a solo shot. Put up a 5-run seventh. They end up winning the game 8-3. So win tonight in Mahoning Valley clinches them a spot in the championship series.
And then what? Do we have like a parade or what exactly do we do? Is it a best of 3 in the championship or what is it then?
It's best of 5 in the championship.
Really?
3
wow.
In the semis, 5 in the championship. But don't quote me on that.
Wow. And so they'll have some games at home though or no?
Maybe it is 3 still also. Yeah, there'll definitely be at least one home game.
All right. No more hot dog heaven or anything like that?
No.
So we don't get anything like that.
The promos, this is the thing about playoff series in the New York Penn Leagues. The promos are largely done because you can't plan for it. So really, the only people that go to the playoff games are just baseball fans. So I hope we can pack Centennial if we get the chance to see the Lake Monsters one more time.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be interested to see how they do and bring a championship to Burlington. By the way, tell everybody where we're going to be this Friday because I'm excited about our remote coming up on Friday because it's, right by Five Corners, right?
We're going to be at Valley Vape Company. So
yes.
We've got plenty of things going on. The first Thursday.
Those are my peeps.
Thursday, we're going to be at Mulligan's down in Barrie, Montpelier area. So we're going to get a chance. If you're on the southern end of our listening area, come hang out with
us. How long does it take to get down to Barrie?
About 45 minutes.
That's nothing.
So we'll be there Thursday night football. The Labatt tailgate party. We'll be hanging out there for the Texans and Bengals. Come out, try to win $1,000. Try to win Patriots tickets. So that'll be a blast. And then Friday at the Valley Vape Company, right across from, right at Five Corners, right next to On Tap, right across from the new McGillicuddy's, the Domino's there in Essex. 6 new craft beers,
yes.
On tap. Beer tastings, beer samples, great specials.
They're free, people. They're free.
Can't wait. So you can get real drunk on the air.
So Rich will be there. I'll be there. Brady will be there. We'll have free beer. And we're going to be at Five Corners at Valley Vape. I mean, really, what more do you want on your Friday than to come out and get some free beer and watch the show? And I'm going to have a bunch of my peeps there. You know, that's my age demographic, 21 to 25. You understand that?
No.
That's totally my age demographic. That's who I play ball against, Brady. Your demographic is like 45 and older.
And you hang out with me.
And I hang out with Jason. And Jason, you're only, 22 years old, right?
Yeah.
Jeez, and you act like you're 50. I mean, lighten up a little bit. Loosen up a little bit for crying out loud. So, yeah, Friday, Valley Vape, and Thursday, you're going to be down at Barrie. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
Who's playing on Thursday? I don't even know.
It's the Texans and the Bengals, two teams that really need to step up after this week.
Let's hope we give away, $1,000? Is that what we give it away every Thursday, possibly? So,
yeah, $1,000.
Let's hope we give some of that away also.
Or a chance to get Patriots tickets. We've got Pat's tickets. We're giving away.
Get out of here.
We're giving away Patriots tickets every 4 weeks.
I've not been to a Patriots game.
Well, the Patriots don't really want you.
No, they don't. I know they don't want me out there.
To be honest.
I don't blame them.
You know what I want? They had the Roger Goodell towels. I want an Arnie towel.
I said that. You know, I did a segment called Make Me Rich where people send in ideas on what we could do for the show. And, of course, it was like the bobbleheads. We could have a Brady, Arnie, Rich bobblehead. But we could have like 3 bobbleheads on one body. just all kinds. I wanted to do the Arnieopoly. all kinds of great stuff we could do.
You wanted at one point the Rich and Arnie alarm clock.
Yes.
Where it just, Jason, this was one of his ideas. He wants an alarm clock. So if you set it for 8 a.m., he wants at 8 a.m. to go, ah! good morning, everybody.
You like that? I think that'd be good. The Arnie dartboard.
The Arnie nightlight. The Arnie nightlight.
The Beth Spanier nutcracker. Do they still use what do those nutcrackers? You know, like for peanut, for peanuts, for walnuts.
That's about your
walnuts.
You just said that about your wife.
That's walnuts. Like, you guys never seen nutcrackers before? I guess it's before your time. No, I'm serious.
I'm sure your wife.
They're nutcrackers. You give them away for Christmas or something.
How are you still married?
I don't know. I really don't know about that. No, so I'm serious. There's all kinds of different ideas that we can come up with.
I asked him that once. I said, yeah. Does Beth listen to the show?
No.
Does she hear what you're saying?
Absolutely not. No, I wouldn't. I would still not be married. She divorced me over that. So, yeah, if you have any good ideas, just send it on in at the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, 655-6672. Is our picture still on the side of the bus, too?
Yes.
I want more of our pictures on the side of the bus. I want them on, like, every bus driving around Burlington. I think we should have our picture on every bus on Burlington.
I think we should, too. How about you make it
even
happen.
The school buses, too. I think it should be on the big yellow school buses and stuff like that. All right, we're going to come back for Last Story Standing. I don't have a Last Story Standing. I was going to do the Andy Dalton get a hat thrown at him, but like that story sucks. So
yeah, that sucks.
We're under a time frame now. We got like 3 minutes to figure out what Last Story Standing is, but it'll be a good one. That's coming to the mix right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful. It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
I saw this story. I thought it was pretty cool, even though it is in soccer. Alexi Lalas, which is probably the only person I know in soccer.
Landon Donovan.
Oh, Pele, Franz Breckenbauer. Those are old school names there. But anyway, Alexi Lalas calls out the U.S. men's national team, calling them, quote unquote, soft, underperforming, tattooed millionaires. Why do you have to throw in the tattoo part? He has a problem of all tatted up. Is he not tatted up there or what? There,
I don't know. Disparaging. Isn't that would probably not a smart thing to say, to be honest with
no,
you.
No, and Brady just came up with a great idea for a contest. Anybody that gets a Brady, Rich, or Arnie tattoo, we will give you a free T-shirt. Right, Brady?
That's of requisite value.
Right, you know what? Two free T-shirts. Okay, twist my arm a little bit. But if you get in the huddle tattooed, we'll give you a couple free T-shirts.
I really do think that somebody... I really think the Arnie alarm clock with
you
the,
like that.
Ah, wake up, you bum! I could really see that being a hit.
What about our friend that came to the draft? He would get a in the huddle tattoo.
Yes, he would.
Because he got a million of them around. Right? What's another tattoo on him?
All
right?
Of the guys who came to the draft they liked us, though. They liked us.
Yes, they did.
The real test would be getting someone who doesn't like us to
yes,
get a tattoo.
Yes, exactly. All right, we got to wrap things up. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next. For Intern Devin, for Jason.
Intern Lance.
Oh, Intern Lance was here today, too?
Yeah, Intern Lance. He was here today.
He didn't buy me anything.
No, he left before you got here.
I don't know if I like
but
that.
He worked hard.
All right. For Brady, I'm Arnie. Champlain Valley Game Night coming next right here on 101.3 ESPN.